for the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello and welcome into episode 127 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got What to Crack coming up. Me, shoppy section, dram section is back with an Etrador 10-year-old single malt whiskey. I sponsor this for my own energy engineering business, Energy Hunt. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what to crack us in Caithness this week. Did you hear the music? Well, that is officially the spring has sprung and summer is on its way. Our swallows have come back and the majority of the geese have gone. So I thought it was time to put ye olde Mark Gunn back on. Not that he's old, it's just the tune is. So I was quite delighted to hear that. So how are you doing? Well, no blather this episode. I have one half thought of, in fact I've got quite a few topics to do, but I'm going to try and keep this a bit shorter this episode.
Hello
section. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope you enjoy it. A Sandy hello to new group members, Polly Apple, who has got the most gorgeous little puppy picture on her avatar. M Sweet, Just Kai, who, well done you, come on, you can do it, and all things other motivational speaking. She's a lovely lady, and she likes the whiskey. Sent me a tasting note of the Oban malt, which I've not actually recorded yet. So, brilliant. She did it just the right way, and she said that Winnie the Pooh has a farmer's tan. Ednar, Sarah Jean 77, Mindful William, I liked your second Ravador down. And Dragonfly Roo. Random hellos are to Jamie and Steve, who continue to be in my thoughts and prayers. Lisa, Lynn and Spadjo, who I am very lax in replying to your lovely messages. Keep thinking that I've done it and I know I haven't, so apologies. Jane Hen, Sharpie and Lana. I looked up to see if I had any new iTunes reviews. I've not had any since November last year. Unless you are in a country other than UK and USA, because I didn't actually go any further because I was quite upset. Well, I wasn't really, honestly. But if you can remember your iTunes email address, sign-in, password, etc., and you thought, what was that thing Louise said to do? Oh, I know. Just pop by and give me a star rating or a nice wee review. And then it pops up my podcast further up in the charts. And of course that my ego gets boosted. Now, following on from, have I done What's a Crack?
What's a Crack, section?
Well, What's a Crack? Following on from episode 125, thank you for posting your random craft facts. You have to be careful how you say that. I very much enjoyed reading them. They were good fun. I have a Sir Terry Pratchett read-along and thread opened in Ravelry where you can please talk about anything Terry Pratchett. You've been gassing away in there and it turns out that Ella, of course, has met Sir Terry Pratchett. And I've met Ella, so therefore I was too away from Sir Terry. I can also confirm that Ella does indeed have a very impressive bookcase collection, and along with the books to fill them in her beautiful home. I was really tempted. It was a good job I was going to America when I stopped in there, otherwise most of them books would have come home with me. Oh, wow. I bought the first four books in the Terry Pratchett Discworld series, and I had started reading The Colour of Magic, the first one, to Sandy for bedtime. I'd read the first chapter to Daisy too, and she liked the idea of four elephants riding all around on the back of a star turtle, but I still think she's a little bit little for them. Sandy is too for some of it, because it does have adult references, but he gets most of the humour. I wonder how well it translates into other countries, because us Brits are quite cynical, and I think that the humour is taken that way. So what do you overseas Terry Pratchett fans think? I bought my first four from the book depository, and whilst it's free postage, it took nearly a fortnight to appear. Shiny Bees, episode 29, is all things Terry Pratchett, and she would say, what's not to love? Janet Rainoff Miller is Knit One, Bike One, and she has a vision to cycle around Scotland on a bike and giving workshops as she goes. She's going to knit and crochet whatever she sees on her travels, such as cars, frogs, slugs, takeaway cartons, midges, wildlife and mountains. She has a Kickstarter campaign going on to fund her ventures of this, and then she's writing a book afterwards, which will of course be as beautiful as Scotland, because it's generally beautiful. If anybody saw the Hidden Britain programme last night with Adam from and the girl from Countryfile, with the blonde hair, I can't remember her name, and they were in the Great Glen of Scotland, and yeah, it was beautiful. I'm not just making it up. Janet has some of her creations at the Edinburgh Yarn Fest and came over, and we were speaking to her, and we had to explain what podcast was. And one of her creations was a slug. And my mum goes, oh, well, whatever floats your boat. I read on her blog that she intends to indeed float on a boat and then make one after the Caledonian McBrain ferry boats. It's kind of a shame she's not about for my retreat, because she would have been an excellent addition. So if you want to go and help her Kickstarter campaign, I have a link with the show notes. I got a lovely message from Brit Yarn. Isla is going to be starting a very exciting venture come 2nd of June. And, well, the clue is in the name, what she will be physically doing. I have a press release for you nearer the time. A few breadcrumbs are that it involves only things Brit Yarn would buy themselves and would be included in this new venture. And it's a wonderful promotion of all things woolly British. So just now, remember the name Brit Yarn, but as the links aren't actually live, because it's in testing stage just now, I'm not going to put that in yet. It's just a little breadcrumb for you to follow all the way home to your gingerbread house full of yarn. Retreat, retreat. My retreat is coming up, so I will have to do a bit of admin behind it. The remainder of the money will be due soon, and I'll send out emails requesting that, and I'll get the behind the scenes things organised, like the goodie bags and, well, just the boring stuff, you know, like the food. Well, it's very important, actually. I have a list, don't worry, I am sticking to it like glue. I'm really looking forward to welcoming you attendees up here, and I hope that you enjoy yourselves. I'm kind of nervous for it to go right and feel that I give you value for money and that you get more out of it than you wanted to get. Plus, I hope that you all like each other. And well, I know some of you, most of you, and you're all kinder spirits, so I think you will like each other. So, retreatees, expect contact soon. The Puffins are back to Caithness, and we should be able to go and see them that weekend. If you're car travelling or are interested in birdies and whales, to take your binoculars. There's apparently quite a lot of orcas around the coast just now. Not that I've seen them, but there are quite a few pictures and videos on Facebook, which the other night Richard commented. He says, there's a lot of orcas about just now. So I looked behind the curtains and I looked under the bed and I says, no, I'm not seeing any. I was struck with contempt with that comment, yes. But I'll take my binoculars with me on the day, and we plan to walk to see the puffins. But if you have and are able to carry them, then it might be a good thing to add to your list, along with your cat litter tray for Pantoffel's workshop. She's going to run a wee workshop on fabric dyeing with Sharpie pens. Sharpie. That's from High School Musical, isn't it? Sharpie pens. Sharpie pens. So this is going to be a new thing for all of us to enjoy, I think. And that is Thursday the 28th of May to Sunday the 31st of May.
Coming up, it's near.
Coming up, well, along with my retreat, the Highland Wool Fest is a month away now. It is being held in Dingwall Mart on the 23rd of May. and was a wonderful event last year. It has workshops and vendors and it was pretty well attended. I'm debating about going this year because it's the day before the May 10K race and I know we'll have visitors coming up for that. However, I would recommend this event and especially the cafe because they give you a cake using a trowel. You know, it's a mart and they're used to feeding farmers, so you will get well fed there. Although you'll need to queue, but don't worry about it. So Leeds Yarn Fest is approaching and I met the lovely Tracy at Edinburgh Yarn Fest and she has written out this for me. The event is being held in Armley Mills, Industrial Museum, Canal Road, Armley, Leeds, which was once the biggest wool spinning mill in the world. Where's the date? I'll give you the date first. It's taking place on Saturday the 6th of June. I'll get back to that bit. Now the museum has lots of original machinery and steam trains from the Victorian period. Plus, some of the machinery is still working today. They have a fully operational Victorian spinning mule that still spins yarn used in the production of bays for snooker tables. How cool! So, Tracy said that she's a volunteer at the mill and she's been attending the weekly knitting group there for quite a while. She's also a background in event management, so the museum staff asked for her help last year when they wished to begin holding a yarn festival. The first Armley Mills Wool Festival took place in October last year and was a big success. Based on this, the museum staff have the ambition to grow the event and therefore changed the name to the Leeds Wool Festival. Alright, that makes sense. The festival is taking place on Saturday the 6th of June, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Entry price is £3.60 or £2.90 for concessions, which is the normal museum admission price, and that is extremely good value. There is free parking on site and it's on a number of bus routes. There'll be a mini market of approximately 20 traders, performances from folk museums who has researched and will be performing music that was sung in the woolen mills, clog dancers, lambs, hopefully alpacas, living history Luddites, got to keep them away from the machinery, a hand spinning area hosted by the Spinners of Ayr who regularly meet at the mill, where you can come and have a go at spinning. Talk is being given by Susan Crawford of Susan Crawford Vintage. A number of workshops, including an introduction to Fair Isle, a dyeing masterclass and an introduction to genealogy with specific interest in millworker heritage. She's also in negotiations to have some extra workshops to take place on board a narrow boat which will be moored alongside the mill on the Leeds-Liverpool Canal. There's also a knitting crochet surgery where you can bring your problem project and get advice from our knitting and crochet gurus. Plus, the Women's Institute will be running a fabulous cafe. Cake is always a draw. Yes, I would agree with that, especially cake on travels. I'm also in negotiation regarding a few other bits of content, trying to source a knitting film of some kind to show the 1920s cinema was part of the museum. So a call out to any filmmakers who may have something suitable would be great on this. All the above, or four mentioned, apart from the workshops, are included in the admission price. Plus you get to look around the whole of the museum too, which is quite extensive and includes all sorts of weird and wonderful stuff. Sounds like a bargain. She's written a bargain, but it does sound like a bargain. The event is a bit different to the normal yarn festivals. It's not just about the shopping aspects of the festival. But it is also about the heritage of the woolen mills in Yorkshire and celebrating this. It's not a massive event like Edinburgh was, it's smaller. I'll have a link to the museum's website and the event website. And that is just the current rundown, so possibly Tracy will be having extra bits added to it. I think it sounds absolutely wonderful. And you really need to be there all day, because you've got a museum to look around. You've got the talk by Susan Crawford to listen to. And Tracy, when I met her, was wearing a vintage patterned top. And I said, is that a Susan Crawford? And she says, no, I found this old pattern. And she knows Susan pretty well herself. So they're of the same vintage inspired and actually running with it. Because, well, I like vintage, but I never wear it because I've never knitted it. So I have the books. I just have never committed to doing it. Maybe that's what I should do. I would love to go to this. It sounds wonderful. So you, Leeds people and surrounding area, shall be my envoys. And I want a full written rundown of your day, please. You hear my finger pointing at it. Do you know I've not got my candle on today? Oh, shocking. Just 2 seconds. I'm going to pause the podcast and put my candle on. Right. Candle on. My mint candle. For my birthday. I think I should have it on. It gives a certain ambience to the podcast that you obviously noticed that was missing. And it was very obvious that was missing the last episode. Goodness me, did I talk fast. I kind of calmed down when I was talking about craft, but the rest of it, I was so fast. Oh, thank you for putting up with that. Anyway, me section.
The beaker section. Me.
But to be perfectly honest, I actually couldn't be fizzed doing much craft in the past fortnight. With the school holidays, decorating, gardening, entertaining husband and family and reading bedtime stories long into my allotted knitting time, I don't have much to report. Other than the Saturday, Richard, I insisted I went upstairs to the sewing machine because I was lamenting I wasn't sewing. I'm sewing some project bags for my shop, but the ones with the velvet backs. I unpicked and repinned and basted and things still didn't work out right. So I walked away from that bit. And actually I was listening to an old CD from the BBC TV programme The Lakes from the early 90s with John Sim, which is a stonking soundtrack. And I had Walk Away by Castone while I was getting things wrong. So I did. I went and had lunch and we went swimming. And then I came back to try and sew the binding onto my friendship star quilt. I got it to the bit where I had to join the two ends. Well, that was fine. And there's a way that you can sew it so you have a mitre join. And I don't really put bindings onto quilts enough to remember how to do this without sitting and pondering. I got out bits of paper, cut two strips off, fiddled about with it. Richard thought it was quite hilarious. I'm sitting there going, right, I'm going to put it there across, fold over. No, that's not right. And I know that if you put it one side of the fold, it doesn't work, and if you put the other side of the fold, it works, and you have to get the right sides to so that the right sides are together so that the fabric then sits. Yeah, anyway, I have instructions for this on the pin board, but it's one of those things like that. I have to sit and work out every time. I can turn the heel of a sock, I understand that, but putting the binding on. So there I am, worked it all out. Sewed it on, listened to the end of The World Without End by Ken Follett. I was then all chuffed that something that I touched that day had worked out, because nothing so far had. I took a photograph of it for Instagram, and it was the exact moment I was typing on the comment I realised. I'd sewn the binding onto the wrong side of the quilt. You're supposed to sew it on the right side, and then you pull it over and sew it down onto the wrong side, so then your hand sewing won't matter if it shows. So I put the quilt down and there it has stayed since. There's a Caithness quilting sewing day this Saturday, so I'll take it along then. I'm not really in love with this quilt anyway, so I don't actually care enough to take it off and put it back on. I'm wondering if my mum will insist that I do, but I personally, I kind of care that I've done it wrong. And I kind of care when I'm looking at it, hopefully my hand sewing isn't going to let it down, but I kind of care and I kind of don't, if you see what I mean. I'm not in love with the quilt, and this is the Friendship Star one that I did nearly 2 years actually ago, and I was still learning about how to keep things straight and cutting being more precise than what mine has been. It's getting better. Mum had to take it apart and redo it because she couldn't stand the fact it was so bad. I mean, the material's quite nice, but the material was always from a stash and it wasn't bought especially for it. So it's not like I've invested a lot of money in it and just time. And it's a learning experience, so I'm using it for. So I think Daisy won't care. She's too little to know these things. I says, yes, I'll fob this off of my daughter. I come to a stop with the Owls by Kate Davis jumper, which is needing to read instructions basically and adding extra needles. It's stuffed into my yarn bowl and there it shall stay until I am in that mood. I was determined to do some knitting to talk to you about, so I plodded on with my silk cowl from a silk hanky that I bought at the Dornoch Fibre Fest in March last year. And ta-da! Finished it. Hooray! And it was really just garter stitch for the first few rows and end rows, also garter stitch on each end, and then knit two, yarn over all the way along one row and knit back the next. The worst thing I think was sewing it together. So were I to do another one, I would knit it in the round. It's quite snug as I only really had enough to pull it over my head. And I've kept a wee bit of the yarn back in case of needing to darn it. It's really soft and I have to be careful not to snag it in my earrings. But I love the colour of blue and I keep thinking, oh, how cool was that knitting from silk hankies? Even though the next silk hankies I would spin first rather than knit from it. Silk is amazing. Amazing. It's strong, grabby. You can pull it right out to very, very thin when you're spinning. And when you're wearing it, it's hot when needed and cold when it's not. So because I was back in the jaw of Mo of knitting, I cast on the second sock for Sandy. So as far I'm 2 inches in the stocking stitch part of the leg. In fact, possibly half an inch more because I was knitting on it last night. This is the Totally Vanilla by Cookie A's Socktopus book using Gnome Acres Wabbit Season Duck Season. Oh, now, I watched a video on YouTube yesterday that had Scottish men in a car at night trying to overtake a rabbit that kept running in front of their car. It's really, really funny, but their language is not clean. Not clean at all. Extremely funny. That poor rabbit or hare, because they never quite decided, must have had run a good mile and a half trying to get away from them. And all they wanted to do was go past it. Wabbits is. They're quite fast, aren't they? At Textiles, we've decided to do a project for the next term for taking some fleece to make it into material. The thought is to prepare it, natural dye it, then spin it, and either weave, knit or sew with the results. I have the fleece and they have the enthusiasm. Shirley and I said we will show them how to drop spindle and give them all a shot. And I said for fastness, I could then take it home and spin it on the wheel. Or they can wait or dry felt it if they like. Then Celia looked up natural dyeing and found that you can dye with daffodil heads and leaves. Separately, that is, as together that would be pretty horrible colour. We had much discussion about what mordants were and where to buy them. I did suggest that we got out the library the Jenny Dean's The Craft of Natural Dyeing book, to which Celia said, I think I've got that. I found it in Oxfam for £1. And I was gifted some sleeves from Jameson of Shetland fame, Seconds, from the lady we know as Cagney. Some of you know her as Knit British Louise. Thank you, Louise! So I took them to textile artists and, well, they just exploded with whoo! And the possibilities are endless. So I'll social media what they do as I could just see their brains dripping with creativity. Thank you very much, Louise. So there wasn't an awful lot of craft. I did try to force myself to do some, so I had something to tell you about other than how not to sew on the binding of a quilt because I thought that was a bit lame. But I quite enjoyed it when I got back into it and now my sock is going, stitch on me. And plus I've signed up to do a triathlon. We did a mini mudder after the last podcast, which is like an obstacle course and it was 8 miles. And yeah, I'm still bruised by it. I like kind of road running really. I know some people don't and I quite like track running for like a forest track, where it can be a bit softer on the knees. Just kind of a nice run as opposed to climbing over obstacles. I don't even like gates. So going over umpteen barbed wire fences, over bales of hay, over fertiliser bags that come up to my shoulder, going underneath barbed wire fence and going through tyres and through the Wick River 4 times. Yeah, wasn't my favourite. And then, about 6 miles in, you had to go into this ditch. And this ditch was I was told, 10 feet tall at the deepest part, and it was up to my waist deep in water, shin deep in silt. Oh, it was just, I said all I needed was an assault rifle and I would have been Forrest Gump. Oh, wouldn't I be very good in the trenches, I can tell you. And then I'm thinking, oh, I can see it, we're nearly done. In the last mile, we had to go diagonally up a ploughed field and then back down the second one. And it wasn't even up or down a furrow, it was diagonally up. So you hadn't, oh, just, I'm trying to block out my memory. And the rest of them, they were loving it. They were covered in mud, they had camo faces on, and they were rolling around, enjoying themselves. And Jane and I, Jane, poor Jane, fell in the river, whereas I nearly did. Nah. So we got home that night, and Richard said, do you fancy doing the mini triathlon? And I kind of went, well, it can't be worse than doing that mini mudder. And I went, oh, it'll be fine. So he signed me up. And then about a week later, I looked to see what the start time was. And I realised that he's written down my occupation as Goddess of Awesomeness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a lot to live up to now, don't I? This follows on from the article in the paper when we were being interviewed for the May 10K race to sort of promote the Highland Harriers, that he had been asked for his occupation. It was a written interview. He had written awesome husband and father. She never edited it and he expected her to, so it went into the paper as awesome husband and father. So for his birthday I bought him a t-shirt saying I'm awesome, and I know Susan Dolph would be rolling around going, it's not the right word, but yeah, goddess of awesomeness when I do the triathlon. So today I'm going swimming, and I don't do front crawl, I do breaststroke, and I'm just going to go and do breaststroke and use my mountain bike and do my running. So I didn't realise quite how fit you have to be for a triathlon, so I'm having to raise the fitness, and that is actually taking up a fair bit of time, and I'm not really getting to doing an awful lot of craft, which was what the point was. Yeah, tail off script. So on to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening and I'll catch you next episode, because there's only the shoppy section and blah 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 stuff after it. If you're into the drinking, please stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink an Edradour, or Eridor, 10-year-old single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. Hope you like drumming too.
Hello, Bickle.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this edition of The Drams. This edition, we are drinking an Edradour, a 10-year-old Highland single malt Scotch whisky. What do I normally see now? It's been a while since we've done this. Pass me the box.
Pass you the box. Oh, look, it's a large box.
Look at this box. This is my birthday present from Richard. And it is a presentation box. Oh, and it has burgundy top
textured,
kind of like leather. And it's got in gold writing, Scotland's smallest distillery, Edradour, established 1825. I love the picture of the distillery building. Highland single malt Scotch whisky.
It's just outside Pitlochry, which is in Perthshire.
Yes, well, it's okay, let's come on to that. And inside you can hear crinkly, crinkly. I've got some tissue paper, and it has one bottle of Edradour. I keep calling it Edradour. Is that a place in Lord of the Rings?
Possibly.
They're come taking the hobbits to Isengard. So this box came with two actual proper whiskey drinking, tasting glasses.
Called the Glen Cairn Glass.
And it's a proper how you taste it whiskey. Fluted at the bottom, yeah, and
makes it taste better. Never had.
Smelled better, didn't it?
Well, you can smell it certainly.
Yeah, we then went. We think we'll have to go back and retest all the whiskies just to make sure that
all the good ones.
We'll see what we missed. And they've got engraved on them, Edradour. Oh, I keep doing that. Sorry, Edradour. I really like you too, Edradour. Established 1825, a wee picture of their distillery with Scotland's smallest distillery engraved
and inside.
On the, on the inside it says the Glencairn glass. And also in this cream fabricated inside of my presentation box, I'll take it out now, is the bottle. What kind of bottle is that?
It's a very squat, sturdy looking bottle. Square, well, rectangular.
I'll try and make a bit more noise, I don't. Put this over here, out the way. This computer's making a right noise tonight, isn't it?
It's fine, it's too hot. Sort of like dumpy and squat.
It didn't remind you of me at all when you were buying it, did it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Short and dumpy.
No. She'd also mentioned that with the whiskey and the presentation box and the glasses, you got
an Herradour.
Herradour. Sorry, it's good listening.
It's like a little water
maybe, maybe at the end of this they'll just say, if we'll change our name to Herradour because it's easier.
Oh dear.
Because Louise will be able to pronounce it then.
It's even got a, like, a little line underneath the D at the start. Herradour.
Herradour.
But on this little water jug, it's got a little coloured picture of the distillery buildings, and it's on both sides.
I'm just thinking it
and
probably,
it's so cute.
It's probably pronounced completely differently, Herradour or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, could be
Herradour.
Oh, who knows? Well, they do. So the this is my set. I've got the little water jug, the two bottles, the no. Have I been drinking?
No, if not.
The two glasses.
Bizarrely.
And the bottle of whiskey. Now, I have to say, listeners, there has been a fair scale taken out of this bottle.
That is looking quite light.
Yes, so we will only be able to go with the last 2 inches of the bottle for what colour is in the bottle.
Describe the bottle.
Oh, I haven't finished yet. Right, on the shoulder, it has embossed in glass the name of the whiskey.
Which is?
Herradour. And it's got a wooden effect to the top of the cork. And then it's got, it's 70 centilitres, which is 40% volume. The distillery edition, that's what this bottle is. Nestled in a pocket glen in the hills above Pitlochry in the Southern Highlands lies Herradour, the smallest distillery in Scotland, with tiny little writing on this. The neat cluster of buildings houses equipment only, just capable of producing commercial quantities indeed. That's a strange sentence. Herradour Distillery makes as much whiskey in a year as most distillery produce in a week. That's why it's so special.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, oh, it's got little Manny's.
Can you
pictures.
Read
them? Right.
There is only three of them at work at it.
Pardon?
There's only three of them at work at it.
Does it tell you there?
I'm not sure, maybe. I've right. read it somewhere. There's only three guys that work at it. Farm as well, I think.
Yes. Right, using skills handed down over the generations, the men of Herradour Distillery follow the standards of those who have gone before. Only three in number, as there always have been, they continue to produce the finest single malt whisky available. A true handcrafted malt, Herradour is golden in the glass and a delicious aroma of sugared almonds and a hint of Oloroso. The smooth, creamy, light, malty taste is followed by a mellow, warming finish. A whisky of rare distinction, natural colour, www.herradour.co.uk. And it's got Scotland's smallest distillery embossed at the bottom of the bottle. It's a nice bottle.
It's quite pleasing to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little displeasing, it's so empty. But
the pleasing
that means we'll have
was,
to get another one.
Yes, it is. I would buy this again.
The colour?
The colour is... Yeah, quite a light Chewbacca. He's had a bath.
Yeah. He's been out in the sun.
He has been out in the sun.
Like us all, the day.
Yes.
Because the weather's so good.
The weather's really good just now.
We've been having adventures.
Mm-hmm.
In gardening.
Well.
And sorting the boat.
Uh-huh.
And mountain biking.
Mm-hmm.
And doing jumps.
Mm-hmm. With bikes.
With
not
bikes.
Just jump there,
yeah.
Child.
Yeah. So there we go.
Right.
Okay.
So was Chewbacca with you?
He went off with Han Solo and the Millennium Falcon.
Oh.
And
so
well, obviously he's filming. Just
oh
now.
Yeah, of course he is. He'll be
I
doing
think.
Editing and sound effects and stuff. Yeah. Right, the cork, Mr. Hunt. Good cork.
We're just having little drams tonight. Mm-hmm. Why are we having little drams tonight?
Because tomorrow I'm doing a duathlon. Shouldn't necessarily be drinking anything tonight. But for you listeners, there's enough for another dram and a left.
Yes.
Oh, dancer. I'm doing a duathlon tomorrow and you're going cycling.
Yeah. What's a duathlon?
It's run, cycle, run. So it's,
well, it can be any combination, but traditionally it's a run, cycle, run.
Oh, is that right?
You can add in, you can have a swim cycle or a swim run or a run cycle or...
Oh, you can have a knit, crochet knit.
Yeah.
There you go, listeners. I think you should all do a duathlon for me tomorrow in a crafting essence. Okay, so he's poured it in and the colour in the glass is... very orange.
Yeah, very orange.
Gold orange. You did say something about gold, didn't it? Natural colour.
Edward Dorr is golden in the glass with a delicious aroma of sugar almonds.
Right, sugar almonds.
And a hint of Oloroso.
Okay, so I don't actually know what Oloroso is. I just know it sounds quite good and something that Chewbacca would like to say. Oloroso!
Oh, it just smells so lovely. Vanilla-y. I don't think that's an actual word, but it's...
vanilla ice.
Vanilla.
You can't touch this.
Right, anyway, back on track. A lovely smell.
There's a
I'll get the almonds.
Now, when we first drank this, we drank it in just a normal glass, and then I washed the glasses. And it does make a difference for having the fluted glass, the proper whiskey glass.
Just smell that all night.
Well, I think we should drink it because those listeners are just going to listen to you sniffing. That's a bit, bit rubbish. Would you like to pour me some whiskey out of my little cute whiskey jug?
Water.
A bit more, please. So what did I see?
Whiskey.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Can't speak tonight. All nerves. That'll drop you for me.
Right.
Oh, look at that. Do you see it all infusing and stuff?
Yeah, quite cool.
How oily it is.
It is?
It's quite oily.
And it, then it goes up the glass. Can't remember the reason behind that, but I know it's something to do with goodness.
Oh, slangeva.
Slangeva.
Right, back to that. Getting honey. Definitely getting honey. What else am I getting? Then the coffee I just had.
It's a little bit burny. I think I'm just getting vanilla.
Mm-hmm. Honey, definitely getting honey.
What kind of honey?
Stuff made by bees, honey. What other kind of honey is there?
You get heather honey, you get light honey, you get other kind of honey.
Whiskey honey.
Oh, right, okay, whiskey honey.
They just invented a honey.
You better whiskey tell honey. The bees. The bees are back.
Oh, the bees are in the polytunnel.
Way, come on, the bees.
Right, we've got lots of work to do in the garden. Although we've done lots of work.
Well, you've done most.
Down with the Bernies, we've filled two bongos with seaweed and...
bongos?
The big pots they used to keep crabs in.
Oh, big blue pots.
Aye. Like 50-gallon tubs.
Okay.
Full of seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
Just about ruptured myself, dragging them up the shore and then lifting them in the back of the truck, taking them up, pulling them out, and then Daisy and Sandy got the spades and filled the trench that we dug for the tatties with seaweed. So it's like steroids for tatties.
Whoa.
And the tatties go, come on, feed me. And they get there. They get the seaweed in it. They let it settle down for a couple of days before you put the tatties in. So that's that. Anyway, back on plot. Yeah, certainly honey, certainly vanilla. I've got the smell of the almonds and the smell of the... I'm not so sure about the Oloroso, but...
Well, is that kind of meaning it's a sherry type of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I can get that. I don't get almonds, but I don't really go around smelling sugared almonds, so...
Bouquet to it. Is that the smell? Odour, whatever you call it.
Smell.
Smell.
Well, bulky.
It's lovely. Really, really pleasant.
Which one's
and to drink it, it's lovely. It's a sort of different flavour.
So the taste is quite nice.
Lovely.
Quite burny, though. I might have a little bit more water in mine. From a water jug.
That gold-plated water, that is.
Yeah. He keeps going on about how expensive this was.
That jug was probably, by virtue of its size... about 10 times more expensive than the whiskey itself.
Well, I use it every day because I use it to put the water in the dog's food and it drives them nuts.
It's the most expensive dog water bowl pourer ever.
Well, do you not think it's better that I'm using it every day?
Yes.
And it's so cute.
It's a fine wee thing. There is a few of them. Apparently they are a bit of a collector's item.
Are they? I wouldn't mind an old Pulteney one.
On your 80th, dear.
Okay, 80th. I'm about to go get a bit older. Right, so the area that Edradour, I nearly said Edradour again, is from...
Pitlochry.
Pitlochry.
Well, near, just outside Pitlochry.
Which is...
just up the road from Uncle Stuart's.
Two listeners who've no idea where Uncle Stuart lives, where be that in Scotland?
Burnham, at Dunkeld. Which is in, it's in Perthshire, just north of Perth. And it's just a wee bit up the road to Pitlochry. And it's a cracking wee spot. And at Pitlochry, we have lots of things.
Lots and lots and lots of
There's
things.
There's a big art centre place for like basically it's a village hall, but it's a bit posher than a village hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a wee cafe and stuff in it. There is also the Salmon Ladder.
I was waiting on the Salmon Ladder. I've been there.
At the hydro plant.
When
hydro,
I was petty.
There's a run-of-the-river hydro dam there.
Mm-hmm. It's really pretty around Pitlochry, isn't it?
Very pretty.
You come out of Perth and the hills start getting more forested
and roly.
Roly, and you can almost see the
hobbits.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard. To Isengard. No, it's more like Hobbiton.
They're taking the hobbits to Eriador.
Yes. Distillery. Yes. And that's why I always say there was a old, is it a smelting place or quarry or somewhere halfway up that hill just after Pitlochry? And
that's right. They used to be just after the police speed camera,
yes,
which has now been taken down.
Yeah, because they put up average
speed cameras. Boo.
However, that is the point I always say. Oh, we're in Hobbit country.
Yes.
And it's got the river running through it, and there's always fishermen on it in the season, salmon
mm-hmm.
fishing.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there in Pitlochry?
Hotels.
Mm-hmm, lots
very
of hotels.
Touristy.
Very, very touristy.
It's a bonny wee place.
It really is. I can imagine you come north and you've never been to the Highlands of Scotland before.
It's kind of the start.
It is the start, and it just gets...
Saying that though, when you come up the A9, you're coming out of Stirling. Not so much on the east side when you're coming up from sort of Fife, but you're coming up from Stirling and you look over, you get the Trossachs,
mm-hmm.
and you've got sort of those hills there. I would say that's when I start feeling homely.
Because
you've got like Stook of Croin and Benvorlach and all that.
But it's a dual carriageway, so you're too busy looking at the road properly.
But I say you were a passenger.
Oh, yes, of course.
And not dreaming of hills. Or you were a passenger and dreaming of hills.
I'm a passenger.
And the ones you've climbed and the ones you'd like to climb.
Dun, 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 dun.
But, no, it's... And then you get into Perth, you go through Perth, and again, north of the A9.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a passenger, because obviously you're not getting the road rage and the anger to get past everything that's doing 40 mile an hour looking at the view, because you know you've got another 240 miles to go.
You're not bitter or anything. It's really
not at all. I've done it that many times. It just flows. It's just an easy journey.
Mm. It's a nice kind of place to base yourself as well.
Oh, it's lovely. That's why it's great going to see Uncle Stuart.
Yes, he lives just south of Pitlochry at Burnham.
Burnham, and he's a forester there
mm-hmm.
in Inver, which is just outside Dunkeld.
And where is Ballinluig again? Is it just after Pitlochry?
In between Pitlochry and Dunkeld.
Right, Ballinluig is where you stop on the A9 for your food.
It was traditionally a truck stop,
mm-hmm.
and we always stopped there. And if I was working, I would go in my van gear, my work gear, and you get free top-ups if you're a
workie.
A chogi. But if you're a tourist, you don't get free pop-ups.
Best cup of tea on the A9, I would say.
And it's kind of gone a bit less truck stop and more sort of tourist stop now. But it's still very good. It's very good. That's not a negative thing.
Pitlochry is lovely.
Pitlochry is lovely. Happily go there.
Yes.
And have fun.
Yes.
And look at salmon and, well... I've seen salmon in the fish ladder.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hydro plant with a fish ladder and it's all got glass sides to it so you can actually see the salmon going up it.
Mm. The old A9 used to go through it and I remember stopping there a few times for bakeries and like lunches and stuff. And on the bus, when I used to take the bus home. The bus always goes into Pitlochry, and they always, or seem to always win Based British in Bloom, or Scotland in Bloom, and they had some beautiful displays. So I would recommend a wee trip to Pitlochry for everybody. You may tell them I sent you. Then they'll all be going, who's she? So who but are you having for your tram?
Edredo's just outside Pitlochry, mind. Well, I don't know if you've had this chappie before. He's an author who recently passed away, and we read his books when we were a bit younger, and now you're reading them to our children. Terry Pratchett.
Mm-hmm. Sir Terry Pratchett.
Who suffered from Alzheimer's.
He did.
And recently passed away, what, last month, was it?
Yeah.
And just a witty, out there, obtuse kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
That this had this Discworld series of books, which I sort of stopped reading them after reading many. There was dozens and dozens of them. I loved it. It was great. Just as it was observational humour.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sort of belittled and mocked the human race, which I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, who would you like to have for the drams tonight?
Well, I'm going to have some listeners.
Oh, good.
One of them is Judith from Holland and her husband,
mm-hmm.
because he was the one that suggested Edredor as the best whiskey ever.
I think he won't be far off the mark.
Mm.
It's certainly my top five now.
Good. And
I find it's like,
it would be nice for them to come back, because they've been here.
Yes, they have.
Quite a few years ago now.
I find it all depends on my mood as to what I fancy at a time. Mm. It's just that we don't have a big selection. We kind of go through 1, 2, 3 bottles at concurrently, but we don't have like a massive range that we can go, I'm in the mood for something like this.
No, we don't drink whiskey like that.
No, we don't.
Other people do, but we don't. Yeah. And the other person I'm going to have is Louise from Shetland.
Cool.
She is the Cagney to my Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Lacey, the one with dark hair. She's Cagney, the one
with
blonde hair.
Do you get to jump over the bonnets of cars like Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, yeah. And the music goes, yeah, use your imagination.
I get the idea. Yeah.
So that's who I'm having.
Excellent.
Cool. Right, what else have we got to say about my birthday present?
Well, just the happy 40th back in March.
It's so last month.
Yes, I know that, but it's only now that we're getting round to drinking some drams.
Mm.
And a very fine dram it is too.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. I mean, it's just a 10-year-old, but it's...
That's lovely.
It's just a dram. It's
it
fine.
Makes me want to try more Edredors.
Yes, I would thoroughly encourage you to try more Edredors, but don't feel that you have to buy the more presentation boxes, because we've already got the two glasses and the water jug.
It would be more cost effective to get...
To take me to Huntley to drink it in the Huntley Hotel.
Yes.
I'm bagging off. We'll have to get someone to look after Buchel first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so, yeah.
It's a winner.
It's a winner. Slangeva.
Slangeva. Look at that. Yeah, I know. How many times did I see your adore? Answers on a postcard, please. It's a nice dram. It was a really lovely gift. I'll get to use the presentation box. And we finished the whiskey. So, I thoroughly recommend that one.
Shoppy section.
The shop is stocked, and there are currently some McLean, Gordon, Farquharson, Tartan project bags in, Robertson, and 2 ancient Fraser bags left. So if you feel you'd like to contribute to my continuing running of the podcast but get stuff back, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side. The music was from Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Time, and you can go buy this at www.musicalley.com. Cue snow next week, apparently. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.
Go together to pull wild. mountain time all around. Will you go? I say go. Will you go? I say go. Will you go?